Welcome to Laptop Radio. Today's topic is what is Ninian? I have Conrad Willen with us. He is the founding engineer of Uber and the founding CTO of Ninian. Hello, Conrad. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Conrad, tell us about yourself.
I'm an electrical engineer by training. I come from Calgary, Canada. I worked on all aspects of Uber's development and scale outs and scale up. Yeah, I'm very much interested in a lot of aspects of computation, and I'm learning about the decentralized space. I'm not necessarily a cryptocurrency person, but I joined Lillian to help them hire, build a world-class team, and get this like very interesting new take on a computation network off of the ground.
What is Ninian? And it is spelled Nillion.
Yeah, we're a company and we're intending to build a decentralized computation network based on a technology called NMC. NMC stands for Nil Message Compute. Basically, this is an upgraded performance and capability from traditional SMPC computation methods. The reason we call it nil messages compute is during the actual execution of the computation, there's less internode communication, which means we should be able to execute more complicated computational circuits faster than traditional SMPC methods would. It, just to step it back a little bit, SMPC stands for secure multi-party computation. What that means is computation between different parties, different groups, different data, yet that data still remains separate from each other. Basically, you and I could say share our salaries, for example, and calculate the average, and we could see the average, but neither of us would find out about each other's salary, is just sort of a basic example. But the goal with Nillion is to build a network based on the new pre-processing method that allows for a better formulation of the computation that, like I say, doesn't have the communication requirements.
Awesome. Let me try to break that down a little bit.
Yes, it's very complex.
It seems to me that the neural message compute allows nodes in a decentralized network to work in different ways. And what it does is that it breaks things down and it put things back together.
It's a decentralized network. So it's a bunch of computers that are all owned by different people. And what happens is you pull random numbers from this network, random numbers that come from computers owned by different people. And when you get those numbers on your computer, you combine them with mathematics, with a piece of data that you own. And once you've done that, that piece of data is then cryptographically secure. In order to access that data, you would need to hack into at least a third of the computers that provided the random numbers, which is a challenging problem in and of itself. But due to the way the mathematics is used to combine those random numbers with your data, you can perform computations with other people that have done the same thing. I use the salary example. Here's another great example is maybe I want to combine those random numbers with passport information. And then that passport information, people could ask questions of it. So they could do filter operations. Maybe, is this person an American citizen? Is this person older than 18 years? And you can get answers, but you don't necessarily need to expose the entire passport, right? There's a lot more detail in there, such as like what types of functions could be allowed on which data and those sorts of things. But that's part of the network that we're trying to build. This is basically what the concept is.
Awesome. Seems like you can get fragmented data and you can control that, which is awesome. How did you first learn about crypto or even blockchain?
Oh, I read the blockchain paper back in 2010 or 2011, I think, probably on Hacker News. I think I looked at the paper. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. A couple of people at the office talked about it. I was working at Uber at the time. I kind of watched it from the sidelines, and I watched the first two or three, I don't even know how many crashes into crypto winters. And I always kept thinking, oh, maybe I should buy some of that, when I never actually did, because I was focused on building Uber, which was taking up sort of the majority of my time. All that being said, I fundamentally understood the consensus model and how blockchain technology worked and how you get cryptocurrencies from that. When I joined Nillion, part of the reason I joined was that I wanted to learn more about the decentralized space. This has evolved quite a bit more. Now you have sort of token layers that exist on top of this blockchain layer. There's a lot of zero knowledge proof stuff, which is quite interesting. I think while blockchain is kind of cool, I think it's still a solution looking for the right problem. And what I saw in Nillion is, well, here's an opportunity to use these tokens to coordinate a new type of network. And this network is focused on privacy preserving compute, which I think is something that could be generally quite useful to lots of businesses, organizations, companies, governments, institutions. And yeah, it basically solves a fundamental problem, which is how do you share computation with others without actually sharing what you have, right?
Computation is a little bit of a hard space because I just feel like you have a lot of competition with Web 2 and Web 1 companies who is trying to tackle the problem. And here you are, you're doing computation, you're using blockchain, different blockchain than Ethereum, I would say. And you're using fragmented data, which I think is awesome, right? Because I think privacy is really important, so is GDPR and compliance. Mm-hmm. In terms of creation of this network, what is your first aha moment specifically about solving that problem?
I think for me, the aha moment comes from when I look at the traditional conception of a blockchain and how that architecture works. As you add more nodes to the network, it doesn't actually make it scale faster. It actually is not an efficient way of doing computation. For example, the Ethereum virtual machine, I'm quite sure you have to run the exact same code on every single node that's executing that smart contract, say, and then the smart contracts, they all come out to the same answer. So if you add 100 more nodes, that's 100 more executions of the same thing. When I looked at the Nillion network and what the founding team was proposing about the way they wanted to build it, as you add more nodes to the Nillion network, you actually have more opportunities to create different pools of computation, like subpools of computation. If you added 100 nodes to the Nillion network, that might allow you to have 10 times more computation. Let's say your pool size was 10, that's 10 times 10. I was very, very intrigued by the privacy implications of Miguel's innovation. And I was also incredibly curious about the fact that as we add nodes to the network, we can increase those privacy guarantees, or we have more opportunities or options on increasing those privacy guarantees. And by doing so, I thought, oh, well, this sort of solves one of my sort of critiques of blockchain, which is that as you add more nodes, it actually gets less efficient. This is a system that makes use of decentralization in a really compelling way. Yet when you add more nodes to the network, you actually get more benefits according to the original sort of algorithm or technique. When I kind of realized that, I thought this would be a very interesting project to be a part of.
Awesome. And what are some of the use cases for it that you see?
Our original conception were some consumer use cases that we've sort of thought about, which would be related to storage. We would love to build something related to authentication. We aren't quite there yet. We have a lot of work to do in our compute engine. We're looking at some very interesting use cases within the sort of plumbing backend layer of blockchain architectures. So basically things that would be running in tandem with the validators at that sort of level. Getting into a more B2B context, applications that I think are very cool, although I don't know exactly what they would look like yet. Supply chain, you have a lot of companies out there shipping a lot of goods around the world who all have a vested interest in optimizing supply chain links. But to optimize those supply chain links, they would need to actually share information about how much product they are moving within those links. This is a perfect example where Nillion can be interesting, is for people to actually optimize supply chain and delivery, but not giving up how much product they're actually sort of moving. Similarly, I think medical is a very interesting space. If you think about pharmaceutical companies that want to increase the number of data points that they have for their statistical scientific methods, they can do that by pooling their data together. But of course, people's health data, medical data, there's privacy implications about pooling these sorts of things. Plus, these pharmaceutical companies might not actually want to share all aspects of their data. Imagine them being able to now do shared research study with a system like Nillion, where they can get answers between themselves to find out a sea of different drugs, treatments, approaches, whatnot. But they would all be able to maintain privacy and secrecy and control of the actual data that they are providing for the study. I'm excited to see where some sciencey use cases like that go. Yeah, and there's a ton of different opportunities within the crypto space. So things like wallets and trading policy for custodians, as well as private DAO tools, like executing code for DAOs that remains private. You might have sort of this public DAO, or you might have a DAO that's got public code, but it's being executed by sort of private members, right? I think a lot of these things are potentially really, really interesting for the space. We have a lot of work to go before we can sort of try many of these out, but I think privacy and computing is a huge area. I think there's lots of different opportunities for use cases.
I wanted to understand more about the privacy part of it. Is the private data, is that on-chain? Is that off-chain?
Yeah, it's not on the chain. The blockchain within our network is mm-hmm. basically just to do the coordination of our network, the NMC network.
Okay.
When we say that data is within the NMC network, it's in the form of a particle. And okay. that particle is what the computation happens on. That exists within our networks. It's not on a blockchain. Our network could be stored within IPFS, say,
yeah.
or some sort of other decentralized storage mechanism. Yeah, I wouldn't say it would be stored on chain or off chain. There's no chain involved in the storage of that data.
Just normal storage. Let's talk about the security part of it. In terms of security, when you're constructing and architecting the solution, what are some factors do you think about when putting the product together?
Well, I mean, there's the fundamental mathematics of the technique at first. Mm-hmm. Basically, does the mathematics provide for the right security? Within the mathematics, it's how many nodes are involved mm-hmm. within a different computation or they're within a pool. We want that number to be sufficiently large to prevent nodes from colluding to be able to get access to the data.
Mm-hmm.
These are by nature public networks. What mm-hmm. are the secure communication links between nodes that form a session or a pool? We need to think about those. We could have secure point-to-point links between nodes,
mm-hmm.
but we also need to think about how do we get secure links into the customer's computer, which has the original raw data in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure that those blinding factors, which are the random numbers I was speaking about earlier, how do we make sure that those blinding factors are not traveling through any one or two computers and again, making them sort of targets? Yeah, there's so many different things to think about here. It's a really cool, interesting project, but yeah, security is definitely difficult. There's a lot to be considered.
I think we mentioned privacy. I think we mentioned security. And I think with those, sometimes identity is tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
How are you thinking about identity? If I'm sharing my data, how is my identity protected and secured and also private? And what kind of information could be public and shared?
Well, if you wanted to share your identity with something like Nillion, you would put it into a particle form, meaning that it is this sort of cryptographically secure, ITS secure format. Your identity data should never leave your computer in raw format when using the Nillion system. Your identity data is still belonging to you. However, you potentially would be able to allow somebody to ask certain questions of that data. How we control mm-hmm. which questions can be asked is something good that we sort of have to dig into. But
mm-hmm.
perhaps there's a small set of functions that might be linked to your identity, such as maybe a person could ask how old you are, or a person could ask, maybe are you from a certain country, but maybe they can't ask what's your name and what is your picture or those sorts of things.
Yeah.
This will all sort of depend on the applications of like, what types of data do different applications want to allow for computation to happen with? And what does that look like? If we were to think about more at a higher level, identity is also used in how we do permissioning within the network.
Mm-hmm.
If I put out my passport, for example, I put it into a particle form
yeah.
and I put it out on the network, how do I give somebody else the permission to access that?
Yeah.
These are things that we are going to have to build some sort of authentication or authorization framework for and build some sort of permissioning for. It's definitely a very hard problem, but
mm-hmm.
you're right. This is something else that we need to think about as we're building the network.
And then with blockchain systems, it takes almost a village to make things work as opposed to Web2 companies.
Web2 companies take a lot of people to get them to work as well. But
Web3 companies even takes, well, because Uber, it has to go to village.
The tools now are really quite amazing. If you want to build a proof mm-hmm. of concept or a product, you can do that pretty quickly with not a lot of people.
Yeah.
But to actually build things to scale at a Web2 company takes a lot of people, a lot of expertise,
yeah.
a lot of planning. And I think that's also going to be the case within Web3. But I think the difference is in Web3, yeah, you're right. To build a very simple product is actually really still quite complex. The tools
yeah.
are not quite evolved yet. So yeah, they're just like slightly different worlds. But yeah, to build a product to scale in Web2 does take a lot of people for sure.
How do you build and integrate community into the Nillion network? Because at the end of the day, it is a network. I feel like sometimes marketing and community managers, they think about community as people outside of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as a CTO, do you have community in mind when you're building technology? How do you integrate that so that it could scale?
Yeah, no, I think this is actually a really great question. I think one of the more innovative aspects of what Nillion is trying to build, obviously, we have the core innovation in mathematics and cryptography that it is NMC, that is a step performance above SMPC. But we are not just creating a sort of database or product that we're trying to sell to large organizations. We're actually building a network. And the reason we're building the network is that, and this is in our roadmap, but it's like very far away. Someday we would love for community members to be able to run nodes within the network. Thus, the more our community is like participating within the network, the more nodes we have involved, the more decentralization there is, the more security guarantees there are on the data that we're building with. I think obviously that's still, like I say, quite a bit of time away, but I think the community sees that possibility. Being able to build this like incredible tool for both science, for both crypto, for blockchain, for privacy, being able to build this incredible tool, but for the community to be the one that earns from running it and participating in it, I think that's the kind of the best thing about the Web3 and decentralized space, I think so. And yeah, that's definitely how we've sort of designed and thought out where our network is going to go.
Let's focus on vision a little bit. The internet happens. We have a number of companies and search engines at the beginning, and then we have a number of e-commerce companies. In Web3, of course, we have a number of decentralized and centralized exchanges, and we have wallets now, a lot of layer one blockchain so far, and of course, a number of NFT platforms. What is your general vision of Web3 and the ecosystem, and how do you think Neon play a role in that?
I struggle a little bit with Web3 because to me, Web1 and Web2 are ways of building technology. Web2 or Web2.0 was JavaScript within the browser. Instead of you having static web pages, now you had sort of dynamic web pages. Web3, I'm still not quite sure what Web3 means within sort of the context of the engineering and development progression. But a lot of people, I think, when they say Web3, they're thinking about a world that's different than the world of Facebook, Amazon, Google, the big sort of tech companies, which have sort of won over. I'm interested to follow that because I think our Web3 is going to have a hard time is that will Web3 products be able to be developed and iterated on as quickly as products within the Web 2.0 space? From a consumer perspective, where that type of growth hacking mentality, where you're trying to get a lot of users and get lots of data and optimize. Will Web3 be able to compete as well in that space? I'm not sure. Maybe the desire for decentralized applications will be so great that a lot of people will flock to them. Although after what's sort of been happening in the crypto markets in the last maybe 6, 9 months, yeah, I'm not really sure what the appetite for consumers for these sort of Web3 crypto blockchain applications are. On the B2B side, I think there's an incredible opportunity for these decentralized technologies to undergird new types of ways of moving data between organizations, through organizations, and in collaboration with organizations. And I think this is where Lien is ideally situated, is to sort of support those use cases. Would I call those Web3 use cases? No, I just think that's cloud computing. It's just like the next evolution of cloud computing. The architectures are decentralized. Yeah, I think we're in a actually really good spot.
For B2B, it just seems like out there's a lot of solutions for computation and storage. And of course, a lot of people use companies like Oracle's and Amazon and Google Clouds. Why would they switch and work with Neon?
If they need privacy, that's guaranteed in a decentralized way. I think that's fundamentally it. There might be other approaches that they think privacy might work on, trusted execution environments, for example, but there's certain applications where decentralized would be better. And these are probably those sorts of architectures like blockchains that are already decentralized. What I've always said is that Miguel's innovation, at a very minimum, this might have opened a very new and interesting area of research for cloud architectures, which I think is quite cool. We have a lot of work to do both on the math side and on the infrastructure side and on the product side. There might be innovations coming in more of these kinds of spaces where we're able to use a decentralized network to basically give privacy guarantees, which businesses are demanding for their data. And if we can guarantee privacy for businesses with their data, as well as allow computation on it, in a sense, we are setting that data free. We are basically allowing it to be used in more contexts to create better products and better experiences for consumers and businesses, right?
Awesome. And is there anything that you wanted to share that I have not asked you?
No, your question was pretty good, I think. No, I don't know if I have anything.
How do people find Nian?
Nillion.com. And then we also have Discord and all the social channels for sure. I think we're Nillion Network on Twitter, or we might be Nillion. I'm not sure. But I would probably just use Google to find it if it was me. And you could find on LinkedIn. And we have a number of really great white papers, talks, things if you want to find more. And most importantly, if you're an engineer and you're interested in helping to build the decentralized cloud computing network of the future, you can find our job postings at Nillion.workable. WORKABLE.com.
Awesome. And Conrad, what is one piece of advice that you wanted to share with the community?
One piece of advice I wanted to share with the community. Oh, geez, why is this a hard question? I don't know. Work on hard problems. I'm an engineer, so when I think about community, I think about all the other engineers out there. I think work on challenging problems that have an interesting new take on doing things. And yeah, hard problems, typically they're hard for reasons. You might fail at them, but I think the skills that you'll gain from working on hard problems are the things that will help you win in the future when you work on future hard problems.
Awesome. And one last question is, you're the founding engineer of Uber and you probably don't have to work. You wanted to work again. What really motivated you to put your time in this project?
It's like I say, I saw the innovation from the mathematics. I really liked Miguel and the way he was thinking. And I thought I could leverage my brand in helping us hire some of the best and talented engineers. And I'm very excited about the team we've started to build so far, and we are going to be continuing to build. I missed what it was to build a team. Now I'm getting that again, especially like working in a really hard space. So it's quite fun that way. Yeah, team building is what I love to do. So I'm back.
That's awesome. Welcome back to Especially Web3. And I think that's it. I just want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.